Okay, so I love this quote by Henry Ford. So he says that if there is any one secret to success, it lies in the ability to get another person's point of view and see things from his angle as well as your own. So we're going to be talking about this a little bit more today, and I feel like it's kind of one of my special powers, and I can't wait to just pass it on to you guys. So I really feel like in business we need an integrated approach. So we can't just be all numbers, no emotions, and we can't just be just emotions, no numbers, because that's not a business either. So I really feel like a strategy and empathy together make a huge difference to getting your business up and running and just really doing awesome. So what is strategy? You know, usually we think about it as brain stuff, right? Stuff where you're actually using your mind and thinking a lot and strategizing, but what does it actually mean? So it actually means a high-level plan to achieve one or more goals under conditions of uncertainty. So as we know, business is a very uncertain thing to undertake, and there's a lot of things that we can't control. You know, we can't control the marketplace, we can't control the weather, technology, all of these things, right? So I feel like having a strategy is being able to be malleable as things are changing in your business. So then we have empathy. So empathy is like the heart, the emotional stuff, all of that goodness. And at the end of the day, it's really the ability to share and understand somebody else's point of view and somebody else's emotions. And I'm adding this, I kind of used this slide last year, but I'm adding it because I've had a lot more experience with empathy this year. And it's also about staying in your own experience while you're experiencing somebody else's stuff. Because, you know, as you're a business creator, you can think about, okay, well, I'm helping this person with their problem, but you don't want to get sucked into their problem, right? You want to be able to stay where you are to help them out of it. Great. So we're going to do some great exercises shortly, all about putting yourself into somebody else's shoes. So we do this all the time, but it's actually a skill that we can practice, and I'm going to be sharing with you some exercises from a book called How to Rule the World from Your Couch by Laura Day. Yes. She's awesome. So, you know, getting in the shoes of somebody else is great, but you can also get into the shoes of different things. So things that don't even wear shoes, like your business, you know, your website. You can actually get into the shoes or, you know, kind of think like your business as well. So what can you use mediumship for? So this is a mediumship exercise we're going to be doing from Laura Day. And really can use it to understand all kinds of different people, all kinds of different things, like your customers, your family, your team, strategic partners, the press, vendors, people you want to hire on your team. This is super, super crucial. So I actually sit on my couch and do these exercises before I make any business move. So I really recommend it. So you can also use it for your business, your products, your website, your market, and your competitors. I also like doing it for competitors. I think it's really fun to be able to think like them and then kind of anticipate their moves and do something different. So let's give it a go. Okay, so this is an intuition exercise, but it doesn't really matter how intuitive you think you are. You know, we all have this great innate ability to be doing, you know, using this gift that we have. So let's take a look at a couple of different perspectives and have your notebooks out for this part because we're going to be writing down, you know, what your findings are. So as you can see, your business can be seen by a bunch of different types of people. So they can be seen by your customers. They can be seen by people who work for it, you know, your team. They can be seen by strategic partners, the press. You can really use this in so many different ways. So let's go ahead and dive into your customers. So I'm going to go ahead and read you the exercise from the book, and let's get ready. Okay, so go ahead and think about your ideal customer. Maybe you have a specific one in mind or just like a general idea of who they are. You can go ahead and close your eyes and just assume that you are that person. You're feeling what she feels, seeing what she sees, remembering what she remembers, looking toward the future with her expectations. You are this person. Don't wait for this to occur. Assume that it has already happened and that anything you're experiencing in any way is being experienced as the person you have chosen. There is no, is this really me? You are this person. What are you thinking and feeling? Where are you and what do you want? What is making you uncomfortable and what is comforting you? Notice what it is like to be you. Follow your experience and then notice as the person that you have become, and then take some notes when you're ready. You are feeling what she feels and seeing what she feels. What are you thinking and feeling? Where are you and what do you want? What is making you uncomfortable and what is comforting you? Notice what it is like to be you. Follow your experience and then take notes. Okay, so now when you're writing, just go ahead and re-embody yourself. So just come back to you. You're back to being you. You're no longer this person. Just kind of wiggle in your chair a little. Remember who you are. Great. Cool. I would love to maybe hear from a couple people and just share their just quick what you guys felt. Yeah. Yes, please. Can you stand up too, please? Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jill Zaffer, and I'm a professional organizer, so I went from the perspective of my ICS. Okay.
Oh, I think it might be on now. Try it again. Yeah, it's on now. It's on.
Yes, it is. Okay, so I'm a professional organizer. My name is Jules Arthur. So I came from the perspective of my ICA, and I wrote, I can't bear the mess of my house and office. No one here helps me, and I can't get on top of things. I feel good when I'm on top of things, when I have everything handled, not all scattered about. I'm embarrassed that I can't do it myself. I want help, but I'm afraid to ask.
Exactly right.
Great, thank you. She'll take it. Anyone else? One more, maybe? Oh, here you go. Perfect. I'll take you this one. Perfect. I just turned it off.
So,
it'll take.
On?
Yes, it's good.
Okay.
Ooh,
there it is.
You maybe just turn that one off. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kim, and I'm sharing easy, simple stress relief tools. My customer is tense, worried, no time, overwhelmed. Need a quick fix, a quick stress relief to get through the next day. Need the most bang for the time investment. Want a vacation. Can't handle it anymore. It's all too much.
Awesome. Okay, great. So I think that was really good work. So now let's take a look at your strategic partners. So, you know, strategic partners are people who may be your peers, maybe in the same industry. They might not be in the industry at all. They might just be people who can kind of refer people to you. But these are kind of your, in your corner, you know, people who are in your corner who are going to help you in your business, in your life. So think about who they might be. They could be the press. They could be, you know, a publisher. Whatever it is that you're trying to create in your business, maybe it's a vendor, or it could totally be, you know, some website that you want to guest post on. Whatever it is that you're kind of thinking about strategically partnering with. So they could be a JV partner as well. So think about that person, and we're going to do the exercise again with them in mind, okay? So if you've got that person figured out, we are going to close eyes again. All right, so simply assume that you are that person. You are feeling what he feels, seeing what he sees, remembering what he remembers, and looking toward the future with his expectations. You are this person. Don't wait for this to occur. Assume that it has already happened and that anything you're experiencing in any way is being experienced as the person you have chosen. There are no, is this really me? You are this person. What are you thinking and feeling? Where are you and what do you want? What is making you uncomfortable and what is comforting you? Notice what it's like to be you. And then follow your experience. Notice what you notice as the person you have become. And then when you're ready, you can also take notes again. can also think about, how does this person see your business? How do they see you? What are they looking for in their business or their life? All right, is there anyone who wants to share about this one? Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Does anybody have that mic? Just use one mic? Okay, there we go. Cool.
Hey, I'm Christina. I'm Building Lands Editing. So I did it from the perspective of a web designer because I proofread websites. So they thought about my business. I do great work, and I don't want to be responsible for the details. I don't want to be accountable for the nitty-gritty, and I wish my clients understood that's not my job. Finally, I have somewhere I can refer my clients for a finishing touch so that my work looks the best.
Mm, rock on. Great work. Okay, anybody else? Am I missing? Yeah. Go for it. Hi. Just say your name, too.
My name is Ashley Sorokas. I'm a holistic nutritionist who helps busy moms eat healthier with less time and money. So my strategic partner would be someone who teaches fitness tips for busy moms or yoga teachers for busy moms. And they know that they've got their own brewing business. They keep getting questions about food. And while they know that the basics, they know how they eat, they don't know how to give those tips out to kind of general audiences. And they need someone who knows how busy moms are and knows to give tips that are realistic for them and for kid-friendly recipes as well.
Awesome. Great work. Cool. Okay. So we have one more to go. And this is probably one of my favorites. Okay, so team members. So how, I know you guys did the pre-work, right? If you did the pre-work, you wrote down everything that you have to do to keep your business running. And I know a lot of you guys mentioned, like, oh my God, I didn't realize how much stuff I'm doing every day in my business to keep it running. So potentially, this could come into play. So team members, they could be your existing team members if you have them. They could be potential team members that you're seeing in the future coming in to help in your business. So we're going to do the same thing again, and you can totally just pick something or envision something else. So actually, before we do that, let's just quickly get back in your seats and back in your body before we jump into somebody else's. So you are back. Okay, great. All right, so here we go. Now we're going into a team member. So close your eyes and simply assume that you are that person. You're feeling what he or she feels, seeing what he or she sees, remembering what he or she remembers, and looking toward the future with his or her expectations. You are this person. Don't wait for this to occur. Assume that it has already happened and that anything you're experiencing in any way is being experienced as the person you have chosen. You are the target. What are you thinking and feeling? Where are you and what do you want? What is making you uncomfortable and what is comforting you? Notice what it is like to be you. Follow your experience and then go ahead and take some notes. Okay, while you're writing, you can just come back into yourself. Great. And who would like to share about this one? Anyone that team is kind of a tricky thing? You want to push your edge a little bit? Yeah, go for it. Cool. You can have both of you.
This is short. I'm Alex. I'm sick. I'm a body confidence coach. And I have an assistant, and what she said was, I feel like I can't see everything clearly. I need some guidance, but I'm afraid to ask. Because, yeah, I've just been feeling like she's forgetting some details, and this is actually really helpful, like, seeing from her. So.
Awesome. Great. Great. And Amy, do you mind passing that down, please? Thank you. Great.
Hi, I'm Amy Littman, and this is marketing for health coaches. And I wrote this from the perspective of a project manager on my team. And I wrote, I love this work. This is exactly what I want to be doing. I would like more consistent work, but love that this is part-time and flexible. I want to be more in the loop with what's happening with the client overall strategically, so I can do the best work for the client and also have the bigger picture of what's happening with the company so that I can do my job.
great. Thank you. Awesome. So is that useful? Yeah. Okay, cool. So now we're going to do your business. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to actually be your business. So, you know, your business is actually its own entity, right? And sometimes, you know, if you're the only person who works in your business, you're like, well, I am my business. And, you know, I'm a solopreneur, you know, that's me, my business and me. But that's actually kind of unhealthy to be your business all the time because, you know, energetically there's some stuff going on. You know, you don't want to be like, if somebody is upset with your business, they're not really upset with you, right? Like there's so many different reasons why you don't want to be your business all the time. But it is helpful to become your business to find out more about how it ticks, what it might need to get tweaked or fixed on. And also, you know, when you're not sure what to do or when there's something you're not quite seeing in your business, this is a great exercise to be doing. So, you know, the other thing too is like, you know, very legally speaking, I'm not a lawyer, but having a separate entity legally for your business is also a great thing to do because it separates you from your business. And, you know, you can definitely contribute to your business, but your business is also contributing to you. So if you feel like, oh, like I'm working so hard and, you know, I'm never getting anything back from my business, then this could be something that you need to work on. So let's go ahead and do the exercise for your business. So we're going to be doing it. It's going to be a little bit different. So go ahead and close your eyes. So you are your business. What do you notice about yourself? Where are your strengths and weaknesses? What is your view on the world from your vantage point? What parts of you work well with other parts? Which parts of you cause difficulty? How do you feel the world sees you? What would you like to change? Do you have any sense of how to change it? Now allow your attention as your business to go anywhere it wants to go and follow the experience. Experience the experience. You may find that different parts of your body are different parts of your business, different places of conflict or achievement. Allow yourself to truly become your business in an ever-deepening and detailed way. Then take notes on your experience as you return to embodying your own self. Okay, and then make sure to come back to your own body. Wiggle in your seat a little. Move those hips, which we just opened up. Great. So who wants to share about their business and kind of what they discovered? Seeing some hands. Okay, great. Well, we'll start here. Awesome.
Hi, everybody. I'm Elizabeth Cronus McLaughlin. I'm an executive coach. I work with mostly women, but senior VP level and above in executive America, corporate America. I'm an ex-Wall Street lawyer. So this was a really interesting exercise for me because what my business told me is that it's too buttoned up. Mm-hmm. And that it's really, really tired of pitching one-on-one. and that, in essence, it needs to be more open-hearted, more wide open, that particularly the photos on my website are too buttoned down and too tight. And that what is not being conveyed is the kind of open-hearted joy and relief that I bring to my clients, as opposed to the trauma and the difficulty where they find themselves now. So it's more about the end game than it is about the immediate problem. So it, really interesting exercise.
Awesome. Great, great insights. I love it. There's somebody over here. Is that you? Yeah, perfect. There you go. Do you mind passing down? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Adrian Havernan. I have a graphic design business, and my business is saying, I feel like an amoeba. I don't have a solid sticking point. Worth? Do I have a worth? I have a strong visual presence, but need help when it comes to collecting payment. My bank account is also in flux.
Great. Thank you. That's very, like, you know, aware of your business, right? Great. Okay, cool. So now we're going to get to the strategic part. So we've kind of dived into understanding everything, seeing things from different perspectives. So now we're bringing in the strategy. So, you know, obviously we can think about clicks, we can think about all kinds of things, but we need to make sure that we're measuring the right things. So We're going to start with pricing, because that's a big one. And I know that sometimes as women, we're not really sure what to charge. You know, we look around and we say, okay, well, these people are charging this much, and there's like this range, so maybe I'll go in the middle, you know. And has anybody ever done that? Yeah. So what we're going to talk about is the 80-20 principle to pricing. And this is something mathematical. So it's pretty much applicable across the board, and it's going to help you not get too emotional about your pricing. So would anybody be interested in not being so emotional about pricing? Yeah, that'd be great, right? Okay, cool. So basically the concept is from his book 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. And what it is 80% of the revenue comes from 20% of your customers. So have you guys ever heard of this kind of principle? Yeah, cool. So there's also a fractal nature to this. And how it works is, you know, within that top 20%, there is another 20%. So that becomes, you know, even more and more and more, which is why you end up with like 99 versus 1, you know. So if you look at economics, there's like crazy variance, right? So this is, you know, 80-20 at play. And I'm linking to 8020curve.com because he has a great tool. You can just plop in some numbers and it will actually create a graph for you and for your own pricing. So definitely go and check that out. So it's 8020curve.com. Okay, so, you know, there's sometimes charts can be sexy. So this is essentially what the chart looks like. And this applies definitely in your pricing, applies in all kinds of different things. So if you had, say, a team of salespeople in your business, about 20% of them would be responsible for 80% of the business that they'd be bringing in. So there's a bunch of things. So maybe one page on your website is responsible for, you know, 80% of the conversions or whatever. So that happens, you know, across the board, all over your business in different ways. And it's just really cool to become aware of it, because then you can just spend your time optimizing that one page, or, you know, you can maybe fire some of the people who aren't converting and then work with some of the people who are. So this is why I think charts really are sexy when you understand how they work. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but what I really want you to take home right now is this rule of thumb. So 20% of the people will spend 4 times the money, and 4% of the people will spend 16 times the money. So this is just a rule of thumb. I would write it down if I were you. I'm going to give you the math for one of the things in my business where I kind of tested this out on, and it totally works. So let's say, so basically we have a program called the 30-Day List Building Challenge. It's totally free, so people can opt in for free. After they opt in, they have the option to buy everything and unlock all the videos on the first day. And that is a $27 price. We actually split tested, and that's what came out as the best one. So I just kind of looked over a, you know, period of time, and I got 158 people who had taken us up on that $27 upsell. So out of those people, 20% of them, which is roughly 31 people, would have paid $108. And now, this is the important piece here, is that they wouldn't have paid $108 for the exact same thing, okay? So when we're talking about pricing, we're not talking about, you know, I'm going to, you know, have 100 people and then give them all different prices for the exact same thing. That's not the idea. The idea is that they would have paid more for a better product, or maybe for doing it for them, or like a different level of service. So what we actually offer is we do have a $97 product. So they, so we take a look at our stats, and there is actually a correlation between the number of people who take us up on one level and the number of people who take us up on the $97 products that we have. And it pretty much adds up to this. And actually, it's a little bit higher for us, so give or take, but this is a good model to start with. And then, interestingly enough, 4%, which is about 6 people in our 158, would have paid $432. So, you know, obviously it would be a bigger program, or it'd be like maybe a phone call or whatever. It would include something else, right? But that's a really good number to know. And you can actually start to think about your funnel and about your different prices in your business so that you can offer something that's not just at one level, right? So imagine if we only had a $27 product. The business wouldn't be very, you know, long-term financially successful, right? But because we can have this gradient, and because some people are willing to invest at higher price points, it creates a great business model, and it also allows us to deliver value at different price points. So in the book, he actually calls this some weird term where you're like racking the shotgun or something. I'm not going to use that here. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I totally love the idea of just taking a look at how many people have taken you up on a certain service or, you know, product in your business. And you can totally look at it for free stuff too. So let's say if you had 1,000 people who opted in, how many of them are actually buying something, right? So that's another kind of level of this 80-20 curve. So out of the people who are joining your list, how many of them are taking you up on different products and services? So, is this kind of cool?
Yeah,
it's cool, right? So, as you'll probably see, like in the future, we don't have a $432 product, but maybe I'll be rolling one out soon, so you can keep an eye out on that. But yeah, so you can start to see, like, how can I use this in my business, right? So if you have coaching or if you have other types of services, it might be a little bit different. So maybe you have like a monthly coaching package and you have 6 clients, for example. Okay, so what would be the next step up? And if you don't have a step underneath that, could you create something, right? So you can start to think, okay, there needs to be kind of this curve that people can follow. And it's also, we're going to be talking about funnels more tomorrow, but as people kind of work with you, they want more. And this is essentially what you're building, is a pathway for them to work more and more with you. Okay, so this is a really cool example. So how many of you guys go to Starbucks? All right, quite a few, yeah. Okay, so your average Starbucks coffee costs what? $4, $5, $4, something like that. I don't go very often, so I'm just working off you guys. Okay, so about $5, right? Let's say on average. So what Starbucks realized is that there are some really, really crazy coffee aficionado people who would pay $12,000 for a coffee machine from Starbucks. And so they have those available at Starbucks. I don't know if they have them at all of them. But if you look at the curve, 80% of the people are paying $5, and then there's that 20% that just makes their day when they buy that $12,000 coffee machine. So they also understand this whole curve. And, you know, they have other things, I'm sure, like gift cards and other things that kind of bring up that curve. But they have this one super high-end premium product, and maybe they sell like 2 a month. I don't know what their quotas are, whatever. But I think it's really useful to see, even in big companies, they understand this principle of the 80-20. So think about you and your business. If you don't have a high-end package at all, even if you don't sell it very often, it's good to actually create it and have it in place so people could take you up on it. Great. Is that cool? All right. So, so think about adding a higher end offering if you don't have one. How many of you guys feel like you need a higher end offering right now? Cool. Great. And how about you have a higher end, but you need a lower end? Cool. Okay. So it's about maybe 30% of each of those. Cool. Cool. So the other thing that's great about 80-20 is, you know, if you don't have a team or if you're not kind of at that level yet where you can just have everything kind of run, you don't have to spend a ton of time on the lower paying clients. You can just spend, you know, 80% of your time, you know, on your 20%, right? So, or 20% on the 80%, right? So that way you don't have to overwork yourself and you can totally spend time on the highest return activities in your business. Okay, so now we're getting to the business model. So we talked about pricing, we talked about adding different offerings. So now we're going to take a look at actually designing your business model. And we're going to be passing out some great little handouts here. So just, here you go. And so we're going to be talking about this as an evolving thing. So as you know, we're talking about the spiral staircase. So this business model is not the same business model that you're going to have forever. So no perfectionism required. So we can just go ahead and fill this out, and I'm going to go over each of the steps together with you. But you'll see that this is something that you'll like kind of spiral around a couple times, and I've done it myself in my own business. So the problem with business models is that you might not have designed it. You might have fallen into it, right? And that's what we're going to be working on figuring out today. So this, what we're passing out right now, is called the Business Model Canvas. And you can download extra copies. So if you, you know, you're like, oh, like I messed up or I want to do it for different parts of my business, you're welcome to go ahead and download that. And it's businessmodelgeneration.com. And it's from a book called Business Model Generation. So, great. All right, so while you guys are all grabbing a copy of those. We will take a look. Okay. Okay, so there's different pieces, and your business will, I'm going to show you examples in my business just so you can start to visualize what this means. But the first piece is key partners. So we've kind of talked about strategic partners a little bit today so far. But these are the people who can kind of help your business grow. So this is a really cool one to keep in mind. Then we have key activities. So what do you do in your business, right? Is it coaching? Is it designing, creating, writing? Like, there's so many different things you might be doing in your business. And it might also be, you know, replying to customer emails. So we've kind of done some of this in your pre-work as well. But it's just good to know, what is it that your business does? Okay, value propositions. So this is, again, something that we talked about, having the right pricing and the right value proposition so people feel like they're getting the value that they want out of what they're paying, right? So next we have customer relationships with a big heart, which is great. So this is, in my opinion, one of the most important things that you can have in your business is, you know, who are the people that you're serving and that you're connecting with, and there could be different groups of them, which is why this is here. And then we have customer segments. So these are, you know, they could be your lower-end people, your higher-end people, your single, married, you know, however you want to start thinking about your customer segments and your ideal customers. So key resources. So these are the things that you're able to bring to your business. So maybe it's your team, maybe it's your technology, or whatever kind of ideas you have. You've got all kinds of things. And by the way, this is written hopefully more clearly on your printout, because I know it's a bit fuzzy here, but... Okay, channels. So these are your essentially different channels. So how do you bring things from one place to another? So probably email, probably websites, probably advertising if you have that. Whatever it is that you're using as a channel. So it could be public speaking. It could be whatever in your business it is for you. But this is how you get things out into the world. Cost structure. Okay, so this is basically what you're paying into your business to make it run. So if you have a team, if you have an office, if you have a laptop, like all these different things that you're going to be including in your cost structure. Maybe it's your hosting account, if you're doing ads, like there's a bunch of different things that can start to add up as costs in your business. And then revenue streams. This is a fun one. So this is how you bring in money into your business. And there could be multiple different things that bring money into your business. And it depends how specific you want to get here. But obviously clients, you know, sales, all of those things is really good to get clear on. So the other thing about this canvas is that you can actually do it on your competitors' businesses. So if you want to get really sneaky or just smart, you can just take a look at how your competitors are running and optimizing their businesses and their business models. And I really recommend this if there's a business maybe that you're trying to model or that you really like or emulate, because there might be something that you're not seeing until you take a look at their business model. So for example, you might see somebody who does, just off the top of my head, like a pay what you can sale, and you're like, oh, I want to do a pay what you can sale, but you don't really see like their cost structures, their revenues, you don't see their channels and why they're doing it, right? So when you break everything down, it kind of helps you see why they're doing it and does it make sense in your business or not. So basically, this is a book called Blue Ocean Strategy, and it's just, it actually has its own canvas, but you can actually use the same canvas in other people's businesses. And what you want to do is you want to find points of differentiation. So, you know, obviously you're going to have some overlap with your competitors, but if you can really create your own blue ocean, you can create your own space in the marketplace. And one of the things that's really cool to start thinking about is how can you create your own category in the marketplace? So not just like, you know, for example, I'm a web designer, but, you know, I am a strategic web and social media, whatever, designer, right? So you can really start to create your own space that you're playing in by yourself and really set yourself apart this way. All right, so now I'm going to give you some examples within our businesses. So the first one here is from my Real Food Switch website, and I think it's just useful to take a look at it because they're so different. So I'm going to go ahead and just show you what I've got in here. So for key partners, I actually have, these are Amazon affiliate links, Vitamix affiliate links, ClickBank, and these are basically the companies that I partner with. So I usually would blog about, you know, here's the blender that I love, click here to buy now, and then I'll make a small commission if they do buy it. So under key activities, basically it's writing articles, filming videos, sending emails, and these days it's actually Lynn on my team who helps and manages that. Hi, Lynn. So basically there's a lot of that article. Right now we're curating a lot of content, so that's a big part of it as well. And then we also have underneath that key resources. So it's a really high traffic website. So it has a lot of SEO juice, so simple, optimization on the search engine. So it will rank very well for a lot of keywords. So because of that, it gets a lot of traffic. So that's one of the kind of big resources for that website. I did a lot of the work in the beginning, so now it ranks really well and people kind of find their way there easily. There's also the technical skills I use in the beginning to get it started, and then also recipes. So I created some fun recipes on there, so that's another big part of it as well. And then we also have, feel like I might be blocking things, so we also have the value proposition. So the main thing really is education. So we had a program called Cure Cravings Forever, which is all about helping people with their cravings. And then we also have connecting other people with resources. So we're really a website that offers reviews and connects people with the right resources and other products and programs. So then we also have customer relationships. They're usually, virtual, so email, maybe social media. There's not a whole lot of in-person interaction with that website. And then we have channels. So for me, search engine, digital marketing, those are kind of the big ones. So social media, search engines are the big ones. And then in terms of customer market, it's kind of a broader market. So there's definitely people who are interested in raw food and healthy eating. And usually they're newer to the lifestyle. So they're not, like, usually they're the kind of people who don't know how to open an avocado, because I've totally been there. So that's why I designed it that way. And then in terms of cost structure, so there's the web hosting, domains, now there's either paying writers or having, somebody manage the website, so that's kind of come into play as well. But in the beginning, there wasn't a whole lot. And so there's also revenue. So now it's mostly affiliate revenue at this point. We just get like a nice incoming stream of revenue from that. And then when we had our product, that was also a stream of revenue as well. So this is kind of mostly like traffic and connecting people to the right places type of business model. All right, so now let's look at off the charts. So this is actually another piece of my business, as you know. So my key partners here are our speakers, our sponsors, volunteers, attendees, the venue. There's kind of a lot of different people who made this come together. It wasn't just me behind my computer by any means. And then also key activities. So we've got, obviously speaking and presentations, creating exercises, and also hot seats and Q&A, which you'll see later on today. And then the key resources are pretty much, intellectual property, the vision for the event, and then the location, the team, and just kind of bringing everybody together. I would also say maybe like the relationship. Obviously, that's part of the relationship section, but I feel like that's a key resource as well. So then we have our value propositions. So this is really, helping people connect with other movers and shakers and like-hearted entrepreneurs. Obviously you're all here, so clearly there's some sort of value proposition. But also the hands-on training and the actionable advice that you're all going to get. So I think that's pretty clear there in business strategies. So then we have customer relationships. So this is, that one-on-one relationship that I have with some of you. Maybe you were in my other programs. Maybe you took B-School. So there's kind of different ways that we might have connected and become kind of online buddies, right? And so then we also have channels. So because it's a live event, it's pretty much all here, although we are recording, so the recordings will also be available online. So that's another channel. And then we also have different customer segments. So there's definitely a range of people here. So we have people who are newer to their business, people who are more experienced, people who have product businesses, service businesses, and so that's kind of our different segments as well. All right, and then our cost structure. So we have, obviously, the venue, the support team, the website, print materials, videography, photography, travel, advertising, you know, you can kind of go on here. But now the other thing here is the revenue. So we've got obviously ticket sales, we've got the sale of future programs and other offerings. So we can kind of start to see how all of that fits together as well. So was that useful? Cool. So, all right, so now we're going to actually take a moment, and you're going to fill out yours, and yeah, so let's go ahead, and maybe we'll just play a little bit of, like, kind of jazzy, relaxy kind of music, and yeah, then we can maybe share what your findings are after, so cool. All right, okay, perfect, thank you. Okay, so by the way, I haven't said this yet, but can I just say how smoking you all look? Like, seriously, give yourselves a round of applause. Like, yeah, you guys brought it. It's awesome. Great. Okay, so who would like to share maybe some, like, findings or just kind of any little insights that you might have found from working on this? I guess we're still kind of halfway through, right? Do you guys want more time?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, more time. One more song. Thank you. Yes. I'm going to put it back to one of my examples. Yep. Is this one helpful? Yeah? Perfect. Yeah, you're right. Otherwise, it's a blank canvas. Great. All right. Great. Okay. So, the other one? Yep. This one? Perfect. Great. So actually, there's one thing when we were talking about having pricing for in the higher range and the lower range. So for those of you who either are in one camp or the other camp, I just want to mention that if you're not sure between which of the two to start with, it tends to help to start with the higher range because you usually have more time if you don't have the lower range necessarily. And then you can offer more of your time and charge more. And then once your business is kind of more capitalized and you're making more money, then you can start to add those lower end offerings. So between the two, you know, if you had to decide which one to start with, that would be my pick. All right, so now I'd love to hear from you guys. What were your kind of insights? What did you realize you didn't quite know you had? Did you find some gold in your business model or something that you want to change? We're actually going to go over some quick questions. Okay, so let's take a look at, okay, how can you solve, maybe there's some problem areas that you found, or how can you increase the value in different areas? Maybe there's something that you're like, okay, it's working, but maybe there's a way I can amp that up a little bit. And then what new channels or partners, activities, or customer segments could you focus on? And sometimes it's not that you need to add more stuff. Maybe you have enough, but maybe it's just refining or even maybe removing some, like we said, evaluating what's working and what's not working. And then, you know, what's already amazing but maybe could be leveraged better. And if there's any resources you could reuse, I find that sometimes we don't realize how much we have in our businesses that we could either, you know, share with other business owners and maybe, you know, make some money from, or whatever it is in your business that you could maybe re-offer, partner with other people differently to get even more value from what you're already doing. So now I'd love to kind of hear from you guys if there's anyone who wants to maybe read some of the top things that they discovered. Okay, cool. Great, Tracy.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Tracy Matthews, and I'm a jewelry designer, and I also have an online business where I teach jewelry designers how to run a business, and Natalie helped us with our initial launch. And it's interesting because things have been kind of changing for that business, and we initially wanted to launch with a bunch of affiliate partners, but we're finding that there aren't really anyone, not very many affiliate partners. So we've had to, like, really rethink and re-strategize how we're getting, like, our business out there. So I think one of the biggest revelations is that after 2 years of business, like, our model has had to completely change. Mm-hmm. Or not our model. That's maybe the wrong way. But our strategy as far as how we're finding people, because we realize that maybe a traditional affiliate relationship, we keep dipping into the same pools. Mm-hmm. And we realize that really our clients are sort of the jewelry designer who's in the middle. They're not like the ones who are just like the Etsy designers, right, or the really advanced ones. And we're having a difficult time kind of finding them, because once we get people in, you know, it's great because they'll keep buying, but
where do they go next? And it's really, we need to get more of the people in the middle who need the support in communities. So that's kind of what I realized.
Really, really useful. Awesome. Great. Anybody else? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, right here. Cool.
Hi there. I'm Kim. I own a dog training business called Paws and Possibilities, and going through this business model really made me realize how vastly different the in-person experience of dog training business model is from the online group dog training virtual programs, and how, especially with affiliate partners and everything else that's going on, it's not vets now, it's more maybe blogs or so to really think about breaking that down into two very, very different approaches.
That's a great one. Awesome. All right, there's somebody out. Harper?
I'm Harper, and I'm a teen fashion blogger because I'm photography, fashion, and personal interests. And I'm not actually making money yet because I'm not for business, but I've had sponsorships and done collaborations with brands and things. So it's just really interesting breaking it all down and figuring out how I can turn these things into a possible business or how I can work with other people and just get in a new perspective on everything. So, yeah.
Awesome. Great. Awesome. So, yes, Harper came from Australia with her mom, which is awesome. Great. All right, there's someone else in the front. Yeah, here we go. Can we turn up the mic, please? Thank you.
What's interesting for me is that I know, so my current business is very successful, but I know I'm moving in a different direction, and I'm kind of treating it as just an extension of what I currently do, and while I think they'll blend in really well, I think I actually need to do two separate business models for them, so that was kind of interesting to go, okay, because I was trying to blend them, and I was like, there's too many differences in these different areas, so I think the exercise of going through both separately, and then figuring out kind of what does that transition look like.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. And you can actually do kind of like the same model for different products. You could do it for if you have different brands or if you have different, like you can really go, it's the same kind of micro onto each one of them. And we actually do this for different parts of our business too. All right, so we have time for anybody else wanted to share? Yeah, okay, cool. But,
hi, I'm Mia, and I have Stay Basic. I also help busy moms integrate plant, passion, and gluten-free foods into their family meals. And what I realize is how many key partners I have, and I'm not asking them for anything, or don't know what to ask them for. And I have a magazine, so I've collected lots of them.
Nice.
So it's interesting to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll help you come up with some ways. Great. Yes. All right. Do you mind passing that just straight back? Thank you. Yes. Perfect.
Hi, my name is Aresta. I'm the owner of Aresta Organic Skincare. So we have three locations, and people really love the one-on-one experience that they have. We have really knowledgeable staff. We have an online store, and I'd like to be able to figure out how we could extend that same experience online.
Right. Nice. Great. There's somebody. Yep. Oh, Kiki, want to go for it? Thank you.
Hi, so I'm Deborah. I'm DIY MFA, which is the do-it-yourself MFA in a good way. And what I realized, I did this exercise for a particular course that we're relaunching now. I did Natalie's Launching Profit, where I developed the course, and now we're relaunching it for our fall semester. And what I realized is that while the business as a whole has a lot of key partners, the opposite situation is true for me, that for this particular course, we actually are kind of on our own. And so I realized all of a sudden, like, I didn't have a lot to put in that box. And
maybe
I need to start looking for
key
partners for this particular course.
Back on. Great. Thank you. Awesome. Is there? Yes. Awesome. Okay.
Hi, my name is Isabel Mejia. I'm a writer, illustrator, and I'm working on a book, so that's what I use as a model. And I've had a lot of trouble with the value propositions, and this is what I wrote down: entertainment, inspiration, imagination, and fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, what else could this book provide? I mean, is that enough?
That's good. Yeah. That's great.
That was my question.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Great. Great work. All right. Am I missing anybody? Good. All right. I love this. I love learning more about everybody's businesses, too. All right. So let's go on. Okay. So yes, allow your business model to grow and evolve as you grow and evolve. Obviously, this